Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Rugby League. It's in our blood. The greatest game of all. And it's here. On digital radio and on the Triple M app. Another week, more drama. Welcome for Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks the footy.
Yeah, lovely to have your company, New South Wales and Queensland fans. Of course, the Maroons got the job done on Wednesday night, coming back from 8-0 down at halftime to get over the top of the Blues. A great game of rugby league. Already spoken to Brad Fittler, who was very happy with his charges. One, of course, who was Jack Whiten, who joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Very, very well, thank you. You've had a few nights to sleep on it. How you feel after that experience?
Yeah, great, mate. You know, it was not the way I wanted the game to go in the end, but just to get that opportunity, I feel amazing, mate.
Putting the try assist to Dane Gagai aside, we spoke to Brad Fittler before, said you did some great stuff during that game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my footy when I was out there, mate. You know, it's a fast game, high tempo game, and it was a lot of fun when I was out there on the park.
Jackie boy, it's Adele, mate. How are you going?
Hey, mate, how you going?
Good, good. Mate, I've worked with the All-Stars, and I think myself and Gordy Teller said for a long time that Origin is a perfect arena for someone like you. What were your thoughts, the crowd, the game, the intensity? It just seemed unbelievable to watch.
Yeah, I got on there a little bit later, mate, but, you know, the intensity that was still there, and the atmosphere and the feel in that stadium was amazing. It's something I can't describe, mate. As you would know, it's one of those things you've got to kind of be there, and it was unreal.
Hey, Jack, it's Emma Lawrence. How did you find the week and the build-up with Freddie? He's a bit different. I was at a lot of the training sessions. You got the shoes off, doing the breathing exercises as well. How did you find all of that?
It's a breath of fresh air, you know, like that different tactic and that. It really breaks up the routine to the normal season. We're doing the same thing week in, week out back at club. So to go in and have a different approach to a game was really good. It was really refreshing. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
And back to business last night against the Tigers. Ricky would have been really happy with that performance, I would imagine, especially the defence.
Yeah, definitely. The boys done a great job last week without us against Bulldogs to get the 2 points. And no one coming back. We really had to stand up and fit back into the team, you know, after that effort they done last weekend. So it was good to get the win the way we did.
Was it weird that Ricky wasn't on the sideline? It was up in the coach's box. I can't remember the last time that happened.
Yeah, I think he might have to stick him back up the box a bit more.
It doesn't hassle you from the sideline at all. What about, you've got there's the influence of English players. Are the soccer skills that were on display last night from John Bateman, then, of course, across the park, was amazing.
Yeah, Elliot White had one. I think Johnny Bateman and Nicky Kotrick, they all love their soccer. So they were cheering after the game, mate. They were real impressed.
Hey, Jack, I know Canberra can be a bit of a rough place. What happened with Elliot Whitehead's scooter? Did he end up getting that back? I don't know if anyone knows the background story on that. The boys were, I don't know, they're up in the unit or something. Was it Jack? They're up in the unit? And then someone just...
They were having an afternoon lunch, and he had his scooter parked at the front, and some young lad come and nicked it. He's still crying around over his scooter too. So
yeah, lifted and put it in the ute, and then drove off.
Oh, well, like a motorised scooter.
Yeah,
and I thought it was like one of those push scooters, Tony, that you get around Bondi on.
I'm pretty sure I've seen a few people trying to steal his shoes in that sense that day too. So he's in strife. Yeah.
Hey, Jack, what about your kicking game? It's been very impressive, and I was at the game last night. In the second half, there was one bomb that you put up where I honestly thought ridiculous. It was lost in the sky and wasn't going to come back down. Has that been something you've really been focusing on?
Yeah, I just started very simple at the start of the year. You know, something I haven't done for many years is kicking, so I've done a lot of work over the off-season and that. So at the start of the year, we started simple, just chucking up the corners, and I start bringing in the photos and whatnot, more so now, you know, and adding little things to my game.
Jack, I know that your life's changed a little bit now. You've got the two young ones. How's that been, mate?
Yeah, great, mate. We're just out for a little bit of late lunch now, so it's been really good. They keep me on my toes, my missus on her toes more so it's really good.
Pretty amazing couple of days for yourself, playing up there in front of a packed Suncorp and then coming back here and playing at Bankwest last night. What did you make of the new stadium?
It's amazing. I reckon there's definitely room for one in Canberra. You know, it's to have a stadium like that, it brings the crowds. The atmosphere was awesome. The turf was unreal. So, yeah, really enjoyed it, mate.
And, Jack, just back to that New South Wales experience. Back in that dressing room after the game, you look around, do what that entire group want to do is stay together. Obviously, selections are going to do that, but stay together and have the opportunity to set it right the next time.
Yeah, that's it, mate. I'm absolutely shattered after the game, as you know. They're high-stake games and wasn't the way we wanted to go, me personally, but that's all you can do. Focus on club and play your best footy and then hopefully get another crack.
Well, I'm sure you will do that. Congratulations on that, and certainly the way the Raiders are travelling this year as well. Thanks so much for having a chat.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks Jack. Thanks. See you, buddy.
He's a really nice kid, yeah.
He's a nice kid. Two young ones?
Yeah, two young ones. And even in the All-Stars, he came in and Laurie didn't know where he's going to play him. He said, mate, you can play this kid in the back or anything. I think when he debuted, on the wing. And then, obviously played 5'8 through the 20s. I remember watching him thinking, this kid's going to go all right. And he's played fullback and he's doing a good job. I mean, you're right with his kicking and that. It's gone to another level.
Honestly, there was one of those that it went, I don't know how Corey Thompson caught it. It was, I had to stop my conversation with someone and say, oh my God, look at that kick. Yeah. It was incredible. But he was really, really good at Blues camp as well. And And naturally, I know he doesn't want to talk about it, but naturally that first day when he was in camp, all of the media wanted to ask about the whole redemption story. Yeah, you know, was suspended last year and didn't shy away from any of those questions. And I think he handled himself really well. He was one of the more quiet ones in the group, but still handled himself well and was really friendly.
But even for Freddie, I think he's getting the right players. And I know that's what he did last year, but Freddie had a look at what he was doing in the off-season and this year. And, he's a good kid to have in your squad.
Brent Reed will join us next with his mail and plenty about player movement.
Reedy's mail.
Brent Reed, congratulations, Queenslander.
How good is it? Not I shouldn't great. Say that too loud. Freddie might be listening, but
who cares?
Great win.
Yeah.
Why was it a good win?
I was going to go on a camp with those guys. And I'm a journalist. We've got to be impartial. You blokes know that. Come on.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, you're such a suck up, Reedy.
But it was a glorious victory.
Hey, is there
one
some
of the
kind
great
of,
wins?
Is there some kind of end, end of financial year sale going on with footy players? What's happening?
Well, there's plenty happening. I mean, obviously, we've seen the deal with Teens Lesniak, and he's actually having a meeting with his agent right now, this afternoon to decide what he does. And I've checked in with the Cowboys and the Bulldogs, and they're still waiting to hear whether he's coming to them next year. But I would expect that to maybe reach a resolution today at some point with dealing with Teens Lesniak. We've obviously seen the Tyron Peachey news that's come out. And look, he's been pretty unhappy there ever since he got there, I suspect. And the way he's played, that probably reflects on the way he's played. Had a story today that Mitchell Moses is about to re-sign with Parramatta. Matt Lodge is about to stay in Brisbane. The Warriors are in for Tarita Pangai. So there's plenty going on. And obviously, in the lead up to June 30, that's when it's all got to get done, because by June 30, clubs have got to have their top 20 sorted out. So, look, I reckon this is only the tip of the iceberg, to be honest. I think it's going to get a bit nuts in the next couple of weeks. Well, even more nutty than it is right now. And from what I'm told, there's a lot of movement going on behind the scenes at the moment. So,
it's like a little transfer window, isn't it, this June period?
Well, it is, and that's what we need. I think that's, there's obviously the commissioner pushing forward with that. There was a proposal put to them a couple of weeks ago about transfer windows of bringing in three of them. That proposal will go to the clubs and the RLPA in the next couple of weeks, and they'll obviously have to nut out whether they approve it or not. But, obviously the really interesting one at the moment now is Moses Embiid, because I know Madge said last night that
he's our captain.
He's his captain, but Madge has inherited a pretty ugly salary cap at that place, and they're also carrying a salary cap sanction, if you remember, from the difficulties they had last year. So, when you think about it, I think Moses and Bai, Josh Reynolds, Russell Packer, Ben Madalino, and that sanction they're carrying, you combine what those four blokes plus the sanction are worth, it's probably $3 million. That's a third of their salary cap, and let's be honest, they're not really getting budget for money at the moment out of those guys. So I understand why Madge is doing what he's doing. It's not his team. He's inherited it. The team was put together by Ivan Cleary and Kelly Egan, the head of footy. And, to be honest, they've overpaid some blokes. And Madge wants to sort that out.
But, Reedy, so is Dallin Martini, is Lesniak no chance of the Tigers then?
I wouldn't say he's no chance. I think the issue they've got is for it to happen, they have to move someone. As at last I heard, they hadn't been able to move someone. And obviously that, I think, is where the Moses and Bias stories come from, because maybe there's a suggestion there's some clubs that have seen that and will be keen on Moses Mbai. I mean, the Peachy one's interesting because, as I understand it, Mel's a big fan of Moses Mbai. The Gold Coast have had an interest in Moses Mbai before. He would seem to fit the sort of bloke they would want. You know, he's a good fellow, Moses. He's great for your culture. He's a great human. And that's a club that sort of needs those sort of guys at the moment. So, and the other thing up there is they could play him in the halves, obviously, AJ Brimson at fullback. So I've put a call into the Gold Coast Titans today about Moses. I haven't heard back from them, but there's plenty of clubs looking at him. Look, I was told he was offered to the Cowboys by a third party, but there's no doubt what's happened is the stories about Moses that came out have stirred up interest in him. And you know, I think some clubs will have a look at him, definitely, and that'll test Madge's resolve if they want to keep him or not.
Yeah, but then that's the thing, Rudy. I mean, if the word is coming out, everyone needs a person in their club like that with those attributes that you spoke about. So then why would Madge consider letting him go?
Well, I think it's... Has it all come down to finance? I assume it's purely a salary cap issue and the fact that he needs to clear some money for Dallin, and he also needs to fix up a cap that's, you know, pretty messy. I mean, the issue there is Moses has got 3 years left on his deal there beyond this year, so and the money he's on, I mean, it's pretty high. It's pretty exorbitant. And I don't think many clubs would take that full whack. So even if the Tigers let him go, I suspect they're going to have to carry some of Moses in their cap anyway. So that makes you wonder whether it's actually worth it in the end for the Tigers to do that. But Mags is desperate to get Dallin Martins-Lesniak. I mean, he loves him. He made him the New Zealand Test captain when Roger was out. You know, he thinks he obviously adds something to that team as a fullback. And as I said, he's desperate to get it done. They were trying to get it done last week with a few players. None of them were acceptable to Penrith, so the terms weren't acceptable. And obviously it's got to a point where Dallin's ready to make a decision. And as I said, that decision's expected today. So Canterbury, the Tigers and North Queensland are all waiting to hear what he does. And I think whatever happens, they'll be moving elsewhere because the clubs miss out on him. They're going to go looking for someone.
Just quick one, Russell Packer too. I heard that he might be on the move. Is that right?
Well, he's obviously on the out of there. He's not playing first grade. He was
in massive money,
and he was the bloke that was originally linked with Penrith. Now, obviously, the Panthers decided they didn't want Russell Packer, and you know, the way Russell's going, it's probably understandable given the amount of money he's on. So, you know, there's some talk about maybe trying to get him to England, but you know, his pass might be an issue there. So. I think the Tigers would love it if someone would take him off their hands, but I just don't know who'd take him at the moment.
All right, what about Adam Reynolds? We heard Wayne Bennett come out and say he's basically broken his back like Mike Tyson. My back is broken. It's spinal.
My back is broke. What a great quote.
It's spinal.
Some bloke's broken his back, Tony, and you're making a joke about it.
Yeah, you are, mate.
Jeez, you're a sick human.
I'm poking fun at you Mike really Tyson, are. And I do it to his face.
Adam. Yeah, look, had a really interesting chat with him in the sheds after the game last night. He was in there, obviously, in his civvies because he can't play at the moment. He said he just doesn't know when he'll get back. It's just a matter of when the pain goes away. But he said the situation, you know, he basically made a bit of fun of it. He can't do any housework, so his wife's not obviously not happy with him, but can't lift up his kids. He basically can't, it's difficult sleeping at night because he stays in one spot for 10 minutes, he starts to get pain. So, look, he didn't say he was overly concerned about it, and obviously he played with it and only came out a few days later, but he's in a pretty difficult situation at the moment, Adam Reynolds. He said some AFL players have had this injury and come back in 2 to 3 weeks. Others have taken longer. So it's just a case of sitting by and waiting. And obviously asked him whether he was disappointed because of Origin. You know, he obviously answered the way most blokes would. That's not his concern at the moment, his health and getting back to South Sydney is. But, you know, it's a wait-and-see proposition with him at the moment, Adam Reynolds.
Hey, Reedy, before we let you go too, I just want to let everyone in on a few stories from our Origin camp.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first one, thank you to Reedy. Reedy, yeah, what?
Yeah, Reedy.
I was going to say, can you remember the men?
Oh, wow.
You're giving yourself
says
up early.
Says you, Reedy.
Shots fired.
Okay, first one. Thank you, Reedy. Reedy protected our group. Someone was trying to come over and cause trouble and, you know, almost going to start a fight, this weirdo guy, Reedy, you know, arced up at him and protected us all. So
really good on you, Reedy.
Thank you, Reedy. Yeah,
what was Gail doing?
Earlier in the lead up to getting to that place, Reedy, we'd had dinner, a few of the journos, and we said, we'll go out for a beverage. Reedy takes us to one place, which was shut. Another place which was shut. Another place which was the most boring place ever. And he said, this used to be pumping when I was at uni, which I'm sure, Reedy, was what, 40 years ago?
Hold on, Wendell. I took her to Jade Butter, the old city rowers.
Oh, yeah, no.
It's closed.
Mate, what? I can't believe the victory. It was the most boring joint ever. It used to go off back in the day.
Mate, yeah, back in the day.
Better blame this than that.
He mentioned this was so good was, when I was at uni. I couldn't believe you were basing the decision to take five of us there based on your university experiences.
Oh, mate, yeah, you've had a shocker.
Joe, your picture's on the wall in Jay Putter.
Yeah, they love me there, mate.
And then the place we finally went to, we whinged and said, I'm not going in here. There's too many young'uns here.
That's the worst bar I've been in. You know, the bar we ended up going to, I lived in Brisbane for 30 years. I never went there once. It was such a dive.
Actually, you went to uni with my missus, didn't you?
I did go to uni with your missus, yeah.
She said that you're a nice guy.
Oh, we could sit and reminisce all day.
Yeah, anyway.
We move on. We shouldn't. Reedy, thanks so much for that. We'll catch up again soon, buddy.
Cheers, guys.
There he is. We're going to get to Peter Sterling very shortly, see what he thought about State of Origin. Next, we'll play a bit of our chat earlier with New South Wales coach Brad Fittler.
Yeah.
Okay, you got your arm around me.
Yeah, the great man.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself and remember, gamble responsibly. Roger Aldridge joined us. G'day, Rog.
G'day, team. How are we?
Very, very well, thank you. The Storm be a little bit more confident going around during Origin at the moment. Not quite so undermanned as usual. The punters like that?
Yeah, they certainly do. The Storm's now into $1.50, really well back. Probably the best back team of the weekend, actually. So $1.50, the Warriors $2.55, the line 5.5. But, yeah, good money coming late too for the Storm.
Mate, what about the Sharks and the Eels? That's going to be a cracker. Who do the punters favour there, mate?
Yeah, they're on the home team here. Cronulla at $1.52, well back as well. The Eels have drifted from $2.35 out to $2.50 in the line at 4.5.
And the final game, we've got Tommy Turbo back for Manly up against the Cowboys in Townsville. Where's the money for this one?
They like the outsiders here. Manly $2.05, but the best back of the two teams. North Queensland at $1.77, a line 1.5. But yeah, Manly have been a pretty profitable play as an outsider this season, and punters think that might continue.
All right, Roger, thank you so much. Check out the latest NRL markets at ladbrokes.com.au. Back yourself and remember, gamble responsibly. All right, now Peter Sterling is going to join us in just a moment.
Yeah, awesome.
He wants to have a chat about what Brad Fittler had to say. So why don't we just remind him and you, if you missed it, we did have a chat with the New South Wales coach a little earlier about State of Origin 1. Began, of course, with Ryan Girdler asking the tough questions.
Where did you think we? What do you think we did well, and where do you think we need to improve?
Well, I think when you get such quality in your teams, I think we completed 19 from 19, and we're winning 8-0. We dodged a few bullets. We weren't working together that fantastic, but we'll still the pressure of completing just really gives you the opportunities. In the second half, it dropped. We gave We got penalised a bit more, and we had a couple of cold, sort of unforced errors. And then in amongst that, we just weren't working together as good as we could have. And I think they just wore us down, really. So that's pretty much where it comes down to. And there's a lot of sort of whether you point, look at players or look whatever style. Most of the time it just comes back to, if you can just keep completing and play with discipline, then you'll give yourself a chance, which we did. We, right to the death. We finished down there. We couldn't score the try, but we're there at the death, and we had a crack and we missed. But we'll be right.
Hey, Freddie, it's Emma Lawrence. Naturally, when you lose, people are going to start questioning selections and different positions. I know you yourself have said Latrell Mitchell needs to find some motivation and he won't be playing this weekend with the Roosters. Is his spot under threat for game two?
I'll firstly ask, is Chris Lawrence okay?
Chris Lawrence is okay. The result was horrendous, actually, last night. Yeah. I was out there, unfortunately.
He plays on the left, of course, so I was just checking.
If you want to select him anywhere,
He'll do a job.
He's up for
one game in 4 months. Or no, one game in probably 8 months now.
He wouldn't let us down. But, on the Latrell Mitchell, Latrell's someone that everyone wants to talk about because he has those superstar qualities. And I think, sometimes you got to be very careful to recognise how old he is. Part of also what I mentioned was that, it'd be nice to get for him to cut some of the way life is at the moment. There was an answer to the motivation was a bit of an answer to Phil Gould saying he looked like he was a bit unmotivated. And then when I spoke to him after the game and His week was fantastic, and I couldn't, you know, be more happy with what happened during the week. And then in the game, he just, you know, made sure he wasn't his best game, and, you know, he admitted that, so that's something he's got to work on. He's got to work on how to be at his best at game time, and that's a really tough thing to do for a young kid. That takes years and years of practice and preparation and all sorts of things, and, you know, he's just going through a process at the moment, so I look forward to watching him play next week. They've got the Dogs next week. And, you know, he's a superstar. He's just working it all out at the moment.
Freddie, a lot of the focus also has been on Cody Walker, and thought he had some really good touches there in the first half. How do you develop a plan on the back of, obviously, New South Wales have a lot of success pushing through that middle third with, you know, the speed of Cook, on the back of some momentum, and Tedesco there pushing up, who was sensational as well. Do you think about developing a plan to play with a little bit more width coming into game two? And Queensland did it really well, and I think that's how they got their halves so involved in the contest by you know, coming out of their own half. And I know you've been vocal going into this game about, you know, having the confidence to pass under pressure and executing those plays that needed to be executed. Probably didn't have many opportunities in that regard, I thought, on Wednesday night. Would you think about going into game two with a little bit of a different strategy to try and get a guy like Cody Walker into the contest?
Yeah, well, that was sort of our strategy, I think. In the wash-up, I think they had 32 spreads, we had 21. And, you know, I would have loved to look the other way. I just feel we've got really, you know, we've got a lot of good skill in our team, and I think that's the development of a team, is just having that trust to pass and get in position early and letting other people do their job. You know, that's something that's obviously built over time, and yeah, and that's something we're in the middle of building. You know, we've got to find the right people to get that on, you know, every time they play. I thought we could have played it past a little bit more again, but, you know, I'm not out there, and you know what it's like. It's pretty frenetic out there sometimes, but we mostly just have to get a little bit better in that area, Gerds. And, yeah, Cody had some really nice touches, and now, also, he was playing with some people he hasn't played with before. And once again, I'm interested to see how he goes. I think South Sydney, who I'm trying to think who they've got next week. South have got...
I think they play Penrith next week.
Play Penrith, they do.
Yep. On so you play Nathan, so yeah.
That'll be a really good matchup. So I look forward to watching it.
Hey, Freddie, at two stages there, I thought Queensland were gone. One with the Jack Whiten played on the left-hand side, which... Dane Gagger obviously got the intercept, but also at the end, I think Angus Crichton went through. How was the feeling, mate? It's such a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, when you're watching it, and you're sitting there and you're getting down to the death, and you know, one team's obviously frees up because they've got nothing to lose, and the other one tightens up normally, and that's just natural. And when we got down the other end, it's just exciting, you know. You try not to worry about the result, but you're just praying that a pass comes off and someone just ends up in space. And because I've been part of one of those wonderful moments, and they're just awesome. You know, your body explodes of emotion. So, you know, when I looked at the video, if you had actually tossed it a bit higher, there was Teddy sort of standing there nearly under the post, sort of thing, empty. So I'm going to have to. I'm not sure if that we can use that as a set play, but. You just pray for those sort of moments, but it didn't happen, and we'll have to go through the whole 80 minutes again and be better.
We're talking to Brad Fittler, the New South Wales coach, here on Saturday Triple M NRL. On Thursday morning after a Wednesday Origin, everybody's a coach, Freddie, and everybody's got their ideas of what shouldn't and shouldn't have happened. Your use, or the coaching box use of the bench, David Clemmer, of course, staying on throughout the first half and then into the second half, and then not reappearing. Cody Walker obviously coming off and then coming back on. In hindsight, would you change anything?
I thought in hindsight we nailed it.
Yeah.
But I feel if you take, I think the fifth tackle penalty really hurt us. We dropped a ball, Teddy's drop, where he just dropped a cold. We gave up a try after that, and then we had another unforced error. The time Jack went on, we really need to get out of trouble. They just put three fresh reserves on, and we couldn't get out of our own end that easy. Although Jack Whiten did a fantastic job. He came up with a couple of cracking runs, and I think that's exactly what we needed. And we had the ability, when they scored the try, and Cody was there, and he come on and set up a try, and right down to the death, we're in the game. So... like I said, when you sort of look at it that way, and you can always just go back to a lot of the times the possession, the penalties, when they fell. And I just felt like we absolutely nailed the interchange.
Hey, Freddie, this isn't a question, just a quick statement and thank you up there for the week doing all the media. We had such great access. All the players were great, even coming home at the airport. Cody Walker was the last one there doing five interviews, and I know all of the journos spoke all week about your policy and the access. So thank you very much for that. Everyone loved the week.
Good stuff, mate.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, this is the rock star part of the year, and you know, I think players learn to stand up to this part. And
yep.
I think it's only great for the game. I don't think hiding this time of year is the game. We come up with some pretty heavy subjects during the week, and although the players handled it really well, although the media didn't handle the tape stuff so well, although the fact is they wanted to sort of froth over that and try to make it something it wasn't was a bit disappointing, considering how much leverage we gave the media. So although that was quite sad, but I'm sure one day we'll stand up to that sort of stuff, and people who want to take a game for a ride maybe won't get the recognition that the media give them just for the sake of a few hits on a phone. So anyway, we'll all get better. But I thought the media, apart from that, were fantastic as well. They wrote some really good stories. They were very positive about the origin, and even afterwards, you know, everybody's got their comments, whatever they are. I think it's all fair in love and war, and I'm enjoying that process, and the players are getting better at it.
It's on again in game two, Freddie. Yes. We'll see you in Perth, mate.
Off to Perth. And can you imagine, Freddie, if the bloke that used to be Kevvy Walters was pumped up before the first game, imagine what it's going to be like for the next couple of weeks.
Do you know that bloke, Freddie? I've never seen that bloke. Have you seen him before?
He's a beauty.
As are you. Thanks so much again for the chat. Really appreciate it.
Radio.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. For McDonald's, Triple M Footy.
As we count down, 3 o'clock will be kickoff. Storm taking on the Warriors, and one of the men who will be calling it has strut.
Ah, you're the wordsmith. What is it?
What would it be?
Walked? What about just walked in?
Just walked into the studio.
There we go.
I like strut. He strutted into the studio.
Strutted.
Yeah. I'm talking about Peter Sterling.
I actually limped.
There you go. That's more.
Which is pretty much the gate these days.
You could almost say waddle, Pete, without, you know.
Oh, that's... No, we have been too offensive.
Right. It's almost a little bit of a...
Unbelievably offensive.
Is that the bow-legged thing you're talking about?
What's going on with the headset?
I don't know. Wendell's done something with these.
If only we had a camera.
Quick, you can't hear us.
It's childproof.
Absolutely. Before we get
hello,
to...
guys.
Hello. So good to see your smiling face. And I guess you haven't been able to wipe... The only thing that did wipe the smile from your face would have been Wednesday night. But before then, can we just... share a little of the glory. Liverpool, how did you take that game?
I've had a great week, and it started obviously with the Liverpool result. Couldn't get over there to Madrid, unfortunately. There in spirit, went to the Cheers Bar in George Street here in the city, okay. And that's a Liverpool haunt, and it was one of the great mornings. Drinking pints before going on the Sunday footy show actually made more sense than normal on the Sunday footy show.
What was your technique, Pete? Obviously, because the game was on at 5 a.m, so did you sort of bunker down the night before and go all the way through, or did you get up and then from 4:30?
Yeah, no, I went a couple of hours sleep, got up at 4, got there just after 4, okay. And great. And the fact that they scored early, you know, like the place just went off. So it was, you know, I could still be there. It was great. And I did FaceTime Robbie over in the stadium and he panned his phone around to show me what I was missing. I don't know if that was a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, did you get very jealous?
Unbelievable.
I spoke to Benji Marshall on Tuesday and I said, have you seen Robbie? He said, Robbie said it was the greatest day of his life. And Benji said, we won a grand final. They'd won one themselves, but this it didn't compare to what he experienced there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he's invested. He's got the tattoo, you know, the gates, he'll never, you know, so he's... Yeah, he's hardcore, and
he'll never walk alone.
Exactly, no. But great week. You know, obviously, I thought the game was fantastic. I had three games of golf up there. I watched Ash Barty last night. What a performance that was! But probably the icing on the cake was I thought I'd left my keys in the car, but I didn't. And Dell's story about Suncorp was fantastic. Parking and facing the right way. That's anal Ray Warren at his best, guy.
Absolutely.
Would you expect anything Less from Dill. Did that story, when you heard it earlier this morning, did that surprise you from Wendell?
No, but I always expect less from Dill.
That way you'll never be disappointed.
Exactly.
What about that game, the Blues, 8-0 up, and you've just heard again what Freddie had to say about the performance of his side. He doesn't seem too down about it. What was your take out from that?
Yeah, look, I thought that Queensland grabbed the initiative when it was there to be taken, and we failed in that department. And that was, to me, the game in the first 15-20 minutes in the second half. That's where Queensland won that game. But in the end, you know, if you want to look at it in the most simplistic terms, there was an intercept try between the two teams. So New South Wales weren't far away. I just felt that we didn't grab that initiative in the second half. Why we didn't turn 8-0 into a winning scoreline is probably the question that the Blues hierarchy need to go through. And I did think at halftime that first try in the second half was make or break. If New South Wales had got to a double-digit lead, I think we defend that. If Queensland got one, they looked like they could get two, and kind of worked out the latter. So, you know, the thing now is I'm a bit like Gerds. You know, the first instinct is, okay, changes. What changes do we need to be made? We weren't far off, so obviously not much needs to change. It just needs to be addressed in what areas we were lacking in and why we didn't convert that lead into a victory, and are the players there that can make that improvement in a short turnaround between here and Perth. And, you know, and that's, I guess you sit back like Brad Fittler, and that will do, and go through that in their minds and work out whether, you know, certainly the playmakers will come under the spotlight. Yep. But, you know, I don't think there'll be many changes at all. And obviously, you know, Clemmer not being there, there's a decision to be made as to who you bring in also as that middle forward.
So what do you think? Because I want to get to Clemmer and the interchange as well. But yep. Before then, so let's just say quickly, the halves. Do you have any thoughts? Would you go with who was there, with Nathan Cleary
I want to sit back I want to watch the next couple of games, you know, and just see. Now, I guess the interesting one is Mitchell Pearce, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago when I was with Laurie and we put together that campaign, and Mitchell Pearce was our best alternative. But Laurie and I had a conversation about, now, if this doesn't work out, what impact does it have on this young bloke, you know, who has been lambasted from pillar to post when it comes to Origin football, you know? If I'm Mitchell now, and I can't speak for him, but I would think that, do I need this in my life? Mm-hmm. You know, things are going great up there. Your priorities do change. You know, when you've got less games in front of you than you've got behind, you know, your energy changes. And, you know, it's not a great analogy, but players are like cars to some degree. You've only got so much petrol, and how you use that juice up is important. So does he need the, maybe not aggravation, but there's a lot of expectation, there's a lot of pressure, you know, if he comes in, whether he wants to take that on. But he's in great touch, and if New South Wales are to take advantage of the good stuff that they did, you know, there is talk that Tedesco and Cook did a great job in the middle, but there was nothing coming from behind. Mitchell Pearce is your man. No one plays better, straighter and faster than Mitchell Pearce in the game, you know. Quick play the ball, he's your man. And the mentality hasn't changed in beating Queensland. Like, we can score tries out wide, but you've still got to go through the middle against them. You know, that'll lead to stuff out wide, and you've got to take advantage of that, and we probably didn't as much as we should have done.
Another player who, you know, some commentators and fans as well have been criticising is Latrell. Freddie before said he's still only young. Everyone needs to remember that. And when he's had stuff going on off the field, it's hard. He can have a week where he's a superstar and then a week where he's a bit more down, and he was just a bit off. So how do you try and get the best out of Latrell? How do you try and ensure that preparation gets him to where he needs to be mentally?
Well, you know, Freddie was quoted as saying that, you know, he'll cut him some slack. And I'm wondering what that actually means. You know, how do you cut him slack? You know, things, if there are distractions there, they've got to be gotten rid of, you know, and there's talk, I don't know whether to talk about managers and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, Brad was very, very strong last year on making sure that all of that kind of stuff was left, you know, at the door. You don't bring that in with you. Now, you know, he was off the other night. You know, I've got no doubt that Queensland, you know, they'd be happy to see him dropped.
Yeah.
And they don't want him there, and because, you know, he's a great player, and he's on his way to being a great player. And you expect a reaction from him. You know, we all expect him to be a lot better because he's a match winner for New South Wales. He was off the other night, no doubt about that. But, you know, he'll get another opportunity to make up for that in the next two games, I have no doubt. But he needs to come in with a clear head, and whatever Freddie needs to do to be a part of that process in clearing the head, then that's, you know, that needs to be addressed.
There's been talk, obviously, since the game about the interchange and whether it was the right reins were pulled. Now, obviously, Clemmer was one of those. He played through the first half unchanged, then 12 minutes in the second half, then came off. I'm not sure if he was then cooked, but he certainly didn't re-enter. Yeah. And it was kind of coincided with the Queenslanders getting on top and pinning New South Wales, although there's questions about that. There's questions about, you know, taking Cody Walker off and then putting him back on. Freddie thought, his quote was, "We nailed it." What were your thoughts?
Well, that's the most important thing. If he thinks that they nailed it, then, you know, that's, as far as he's concerned, they got that right. I want to preface anything I say about interchange with the fact I've never coached. I've never been in charge of interchange. You know, I haven't been in that position to make those kind of decisions, but I played at the top level, and I think I understand the rhythm and flow of games and momentum in games well enough to give a comment on it. The first thing about interchange, you cover injuries. That's the first thing. You know, that's the most obvious one, and that's, you know, when injuries, then somebody goes in. But it seems to me that you have to have a flexibility about your interchange. There are no such thing as rules when it comes to interchange. Coaches go in with a plan in a perfect world and hope that it unfolds that way, but every game is different and circumstances change. So you have to be ready to be flexible and change with that. And that means you have to be proactive and you have to be reactive. Now, to me, the proactive side of it was David Clemmer. If the thought up in the coach's box was, well, we're going fine here, we're leading, physically, we're you know, not necessarily dominant, but we're on top, then why change that? And I can understand why they left him out there for the first half, because he was instrumental in putting New South Wales into a great position in so many different areas. Things changed at the beginning of that second half, you know, when some early kicks from Queensland, and then they upped the ante in defence. Clemmer's gassed, so get him out of there, but you've still got great quality coming in behind. Now, the impact for Clemmer too was the fact that in a tight game, and it was always going to be that, I've got no doubt that Brad Fittler wanted Cameron Murray and Jake Trbojevic to be out there for the last 20 to 25 minutes. And I completely understand that. So that impacts on a Clemmer and your middle forwards. You know, if that's the plan, and it's a good plan. And, you know, it wasn't far off from actually snatching a victory for the side. The reactive is Jack Whiten. Do they want to use Jack Whiten that way before a game? No. But that second half start where we're put on the back foot and we're coming off our own line all the time, they needed a fresh, big, athletic body out there. You know, I think it was more him coming on for Cody Walker, because Cody Walker's not that type of player, than Cody being hooked. They just needed that kind of guy out there. And if you have a look at someone who can play a little bit wider and maybe get between defenders and going straight at defenders, and he came up with some great stuff, Jack Whiten, and that allowed Cody Walker to come back into the game later. At that moment in the game, they needed a Jack Whiten-type player.
Well, if you hook a guy, Pete, 20 minutes to go, because he's not playing well,
you don't put him back on.
You don't put him back on to try and get him to help you win the game.
And I don't care, look at history, as to the last time that a half or a 5/8 was bought off, you know, And that's got nothing to do with what took place at Suncorp Stadium the other night. You know, you look at the situation, the game, as to what you think needs to happen or which course of action you need to take, and you act on it. You know, and I'm glad that Brad Fittler came out and said that they nailed it, because, you know, they felt that was what the game demanded at the time. They went very close. They'll learn from other parts of the game as well. But when it comes down to the interchange, you know, I'm certainly not going to say they got it wrong, because, like I say, I haven't been in that position to have to make those decisions.
But you've been in the position involved in the selection process. Yep. So how difficult is that? How difficult is it not to try and listen to too many people, because everyone has an opinion? What's this next 2 weeks like for Freddie?
Oh, Freddie's brilliant. Freddie knows the game. Freddie knows players. Freddie understands situations. He understands Origin. He will continue to get opinions that he respects from those around him, and then he will make the ultimate decision. I've no qualms about, you know, Brad Fittler and his selection. He's got great people around him, but he's a strong enough personality, and he knows that he's the coach, that he will make the ultimate decision after taking on board all of those opinions that he respects, and that's what good coaches do.
Just hold that thought, Gerds. I know you want to say something, but we'll just want to take a quick break. I could just pick this man's brains for hours.
It's a small pick.
Stay with us, Sterlo. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
For Ream Hot Water, Triple M Footy. For McDonald's, Triple M Footy.
Not far away from kickoff, Storm taking on the Warriors. Peter Sterling is with Emma Lawrence, Ryan Gerler. My name is Tony Squires. Sterlo.
Do I have to work with Maroon?
Yeah.
Have you seen him? He's come in dressed to the nines. He's got a paisley tie on and beautiful. A suit.
Mm. Yeah. He had a cashie this morning.
Mate, I hope his shirt's waterproof because the tyres are pissing. He can have a look at him.
You're going to have a nice afternoon with that man. I just want to take you back once more. We've been talking about the Blues, but what about Queensland? What about the performance of Munster and Kalyn Ponga? And obviously Daly Cherry-Evans coming off what? The recovery 6 weeks over syndesmosis.
Josh McGuire, Ben Hunt.
You go through the whole lot.
Yeah, it was incredible.
But well, they were fantastic. They were the better side. They deserved to win, and they came in, you know, under pressure, I suppose. You always come into Origin games under pressure, but, you know, some changes there in regards to, you know, Hunt, how will he fare at hooker? Cherry Evans hadn't played for so long. They were great, you know, they were wonderful. Like I say, at the beginning of the second half when they came out, and boy, did they play some Origin football there, and they kicked early and they just belted and they, you know, they were good enough to hang on.
I tried to throw a left to right pass to Gerds a few weeks ago with about 2 metres and gee, I struggled.
Yeah.
That ball from Kalyn Ponga, it was just spectacular, wasn't it?
So you struggled right to left as well. So you struggled both sides.
I'm ambidextrous on the struggling thing.
I wrote a column in the Herald this week, you know, watching Billy Slater sitting on the sideline, watching Kalyn Ponga up against James Tedesco, I was absorbed in that kind of symmetry there, you know. Yeah. It was, and you know, Tedesco was fantastic, and it was, again, I wrote that it was a travesty that he dropped the ball at a crucial stage, but it wasn't surprising that it was Kalyn Ponga who threw that pass as a result of that to Gagai to score. But it was a great confrontation, and the number ones were fantastic for both teams. And Munster, you know, just lived up to our expectations of what he's going to be at this level of football for many years to come.
Yep.
Just on the, we were speaking about Latrell before the break. Trent Robinson has had his press conference this morning and apparently got a bit fired up and said the rumours that we're not happy with Latrell, and, you know, he's not playing for them this weekend. He's rested. He said it's a load of crap. You know, he just needs a rest, and went behind him 100%. So denying the rumours that the Roosters aren't happy with Latrell at the moment.
So we don't know, Latrell, we don't know where he is. He went to Taree.
He's gone back to Taree, yeah.
Right, so he's having this week off?
Yep, this week off, and he'll be back next week. And, you know, the journos were hammering him. Most of the press conference, it seems, was about Latrell.
I think it's good that he's having this weekend off. I mean, they're playing Penrith on Sunday, so I think it's perfect timing to give the big man a rest.
No one knows him better than the coach. Trent Robinson, like, the way he's managed his career so far has been spot on. Like, we put him back in reserve grade there at one stage. Well, didn't play him, you know, and that was obviously what was needed at that time. He came back bigger and better than ever. You know, that's the great thing about Trent Robinson and the great coaches who are man managers as well. Mm. They just know, you know, they know their players, and they know that some needs to be handled differently to others. Wayne Bennett with James Roberts, you know, it's kind of a similar situation. He seems to know how to get the best out of him, and that's to recognise what players need is half the battle.
Those Roosters players seem to say he's got 17 different coaching styles for every single player on that field, and that's why they love him.
Yeah, and that's why they're successful.
Yeah. And were you inclined to go ahead first headbutting style and like into a Burgess when you were playing?
Hey, look, I don't like headbutts, but I didn't mind what I saw last night.
You were going to say that's what he said. That's what Wendell said. It's a game of footy on happening very, very shortly. The Warriors taking on the Melbourne Storm. Triple M rocks a footy.
For McDonald's, this is Triple M Footy.